The 20th parak discusses various potential isuri derabanan and when they don't apply. We're going to start with Mishnah Aleph, which is going to talk primarily about Yontif but Shabbos as well. Then the concept here is, can you hang a strainer? So that would be, for example, if you have a container and you want to hang a netting on top of it. So that would be a classic isur derabanan of making a temporary tent. Nonetheless, Rabbi Eliezer, the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, is he permits typically even isuri d'oraisa on yontif for food preparation. Now, if the isur could have been done before yontif, then he doesn't permit it if it was an isur d'oraisa. But if it was an isur d'rabanan, that could have been done before yontif. You don't have to do it before yontif because it's food preparation. You can do it on yontif. So that is the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Tolin et Amisha Meres B'Yontif, it's permitted to hang a strainer over a container on Yontif, because we're talking only about an Isur D'Rabbanan, and even though it could have been done before Yontif, because it will enable us to do food preparation. It's not the food preparation itself, but it's something that enables us to do preparation, then it would be permitted because it's only an Isur D'Rabbanan, and you can do it on Yontif. Nosni la tluya b'Shabbos, when it comes to Shabbos, you can't set it up. You can't hang the strainer, but if the strainer is already hung over the container from before Shabbos, you are allowed to strain with it on Shabbos. V'chachamim omrim, chachamim disagree on both of those points. Ein tolim et ha-meshameres b'Yontif, you're not allowed to hang that strainer on Yontif because you could have done it before. Chachamim do not permit items that will enable you to do food preparation. They permit on yontif food preparation itself, but not the enabler. So you're not allowed to hang that strainer on yontif. And vein nosnim latluya b'Shabbos, and on Shabbos, even if it's hung already, you're not allowed to use that strainer on Shabbos. The only thing that chachamim permit, aval nosnim latluya b'yontif, when it comes to yontif, as long as it's set up already, you're not allowed to set it up because that would be enabling you to do food preparation. But the food preparation itself is permitted accordingly. When you have that strainer set up already, you're allowed to use it for food preparation on yontif. Mishnah Beis is going to talk about continuing straining. And we're talking about when you have sediments of wine, sediments of grapes that are in a strainer on Shabbos. So they're already there in the strainer, and what you want to do is you want to pour more water to get the balance of the grape juice out of the grape sediment. So the Mishnah says that is in fact not a violation of the Isser or Bora. The sediments are already above, and what you're simply doing is you're pouring water in, you're removing the grape juice, but the water is going down underneath that strainer together with the wine. So nosni mayim al gabe hashmarim bishvir sheitzalu, it's permitted indeed to pour water on the grape sediments in order for it to remove more of the grape juice. That is not an isser of Borer. Continuing, misananin esayayin besudarin bekvifa mitri, it's permitted to filter wine. This is, we're talking about wine that is already drinkable. So you just want to purify it a little more. So because it's already drinkable and we're going to do it with a shinoi in an unusual way, we're going to use as a strainer a cloth, that's sudarim, or kvifa mitris, where that is a type of basket that's made from palm branches, palm twigs. So because we're doing it to drinkable water with a shinoi, that is going to be permitted on Shabbos. V'nosnim beitza b'misanenet shel chardal. This is talking about when we have a strainer and we have mustard seeds underneath. Mustard seeds are yellow, and what we want to do is crack an egg at the top. Let the egg flow through that misanenet. The yellow part is going to go down. The yolk is going to go down because that is more liquidy than the white part, which will stay above. That is permitted on Shabbos as well. I'm not trying to divide up between psolas and ochel. That would be the Isur Bora, removing psolas. These are both ochel. Both parts of the egg are good. I'm not doing to eat. I simply want to color below the already yellow chardal mustard seeds, so that would be permitted. Continuing, we're going to talk about the potential Isur of exerting too much on Shabbos. So tircha yisera would be a problem. However, nonetheless, v'osim en nomelin b'Shabbos, it's permitted to make a beverage that is made of wine, honey, and pepper on Shabbos, because you're going to be eating it on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he has a different take. It depends the amount that you're making. You have limitations b'Shabbos, because on Shabbos you're only allowed to make one cup at a time. You can't make too much. It's too much an exertion. B'yom tov b'lagin. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to make a bottle of this stuff at the time. And uvamoid, if it's chol amoid b'chavit, you can make a barrel at the time. Rabbi Tzadok disagrees. Rabbi Tzadok amar kol lefi aorchim. There are no rules about Shabbos, Yom Tov, and chol amoid limiting it. It's based on how much you need and based on how many guests you have. You're indeed allowed to feed the guests, so make as much as you need on each of these days. Mishnah Gimel talks about preparation of medicine. Now, if preparing of medicine means grinding, that would be an Isser D'oraisa Tchina. That would be an Isser D'oraisa. However, we're talking about not an Isser D'oraisa, but preparation of medicine. We're not allowed to do refuah on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says as follows, Ein Shorin et Achiltis B'poshim. It's not permitted to soak. The Achiltis is a certain type of herb, a very sharp herb, that they would use for refuah, for medicine. You're not allowed to soak it in warm water. Aval nosen l'socha chomets. However, you can put this herb into vinegar. The reason is, the first way you're doing it, if you're soaking it in warm water, it's obvious that you're doing that for medicinal purposes. However, if you're adding this herb to vinegar, people would use that as a dip for their food. That would indeed be permitted, because you're going to use it for food, even if it has the medicinal effect. That's not going to be a problematic use of medicine on Shabbos. Now we're talking about the Isser of Borer, which means selecting, taking the bad from the good, psulat min ha'ochel, ve'ein shorin et ha'karshinin. It's not permitted to take karshinin, which is vetch, that is a type of animal food, and what they would do is they would soak it, and that would remove the waste. The waste would come to the top, so that's Borer, that's removing the psolas from the ochel, v'lo shafinosan. You're also not allowed to rub the vetch, because that's removing the waste part of it. Aval nosen l'soch ha-kavara or l'soch ha-kalkala. What you are permitted to do is you're permitted to put the vetch into a sieve or into a basket in order to store it, even though it could be that some of the psola, some of the waste will come out of the bottom, but that's not our intention. Our intention is to store it there, and accordingly, that's not going to be a prohibited borer. Ein kovrin esateven bekvara. We're talking now about straw, which was also animal food, and you're not allowed to sift that animal food, that straw with a sieve, because indeed that again is borer, that's removing the psolas, v'lo yitnenu al gabe makom kavoa bishvil sheyered hamos. Also, you're not allowed to put it into a sieve and put it on a high place, literally a high place, but it's talking about that there's a gap between the bottom of the sieve and what's holding it up, because you're having a gap there, you are enabling, and it's also your intention for the psolas, for the chaff, the waste material to fall out the bottom. So because you're intending to do that, that's a problem of borer. However, what you are permitted to do is aval notel kuba kvara v'nosen l'socha evus. You're permitted to put the straw into a sieve and use it for transporting the straw. So even though it's in a sieve and some of it will fall out the bottom, as long as it's not your intention, you're allowed to move it from place to place in a sieve and to put it in the evus as the eating trough of the animal. Mishnah Dalet, Gorfi Milifnei HaPetam. This is talking about a petam, is when you're trying to fatten up an animal, so you're feeding it a lot, and you'd have a lot of food inside of the trough that the animal will be eating. It's permitted to sweep out the dirt from that animal trough. This is the Tanakama's view, that we're not concerned that you're going to be mashva gumos. So we're talking now about a trough that is not made of earthenware. It doesn't have like an earthenware floor. If it did, that would be concern of sweeping. You would be mashva gumos, filling in the holes, and that would indeed be problematic. But as long as it's not earthenware, the Tanakhama says you can sweep it in order to remove the dirt from that feeding bin of the animal. Masalkin letzadi b'nei harei. If you have a lot of food in there, you're allowed to move some of the food onto the side so that the animal does not make dung on top of it. Divrei Rebbe Yudosa, because if the animal, once they go to the bathroom on it, they're not going to want to eat it. So you're allowed to move some of it to the side. V'chachamim osrim chachamim are of the view that both of these activities are prohibited, even if it's the first activity. Even if it's a non-earthenware bin that is holding the food, the Tanakhama said you can sweep it. The Rabbi Chachamim are concerned that even though Meikar Din, that would be okay, but we're concerned that you're going to come and sweep in an earthenware bin, and that's going to flatten out the floor, so you can't do it even if it's not earthenware. And when it comes to the second prohibition of moving some of the excess food to the side so it doesn't get ruined, Chachamim are of the view, it's already dirty, some of it already. So you already have a problem, animal's not going to eat it, so you can't exert yourself to move some of it away. Continuing, notli milfnei behema zo, v'nosni milifnei behema zo b'shamas. What you can do is that you have excess food. When you have excess food in front of one animal, you can move it to another animal who hasn't eaten yet, who will eat the food. That would be a permitted exertion on Shabbos. Mishnah is going to talk about kash, which is straw. And the default when it comes to straw is that it's muksa because it's used as a fuel. It used to be lit. So unless you procured it effectively on before Shabbos, saying I'm going to be using this for a permitted purpose, the default is when you have straw, it's going to be muksa. So hakasha al gabe hamita, you're ready to go to sleep, and you find that there's straw on your bed, as we said, the default is it's muksa because it's used for fuel. Lo yena'anu biyadu, you're not allowed to move it. It's muksa, so you can't move it with your hands. You have to move it with a shinoi. Elamena'anu begufa, you're allowed to push it with your body. That shinoi would permit the moving of that muksa on Shabbos. However, if you prepared it before Shabbos, you designated for animal food, so it's not going to be muksa accordingly. Or from before Shabbos, there was already on top of that straw a pillow or a sheet, which is indicative that you're planning on using that straw as a mattress. So in other words, you've removed it from the muksa status of it's being used for fuel. Mina'ano biyadu, you're allowed to move it directly. You don't have to do it with a shinoi because it took it out of being muksa. You had that intention from before Shabbos. Now we're going to talk about a press, and they would use presses to iron out their clothing. And we're going to divide up between two different types of presses, residential, the smaller, less professional ones, and those that were used for professionals, which were much more heavy duty. So machbesh, a press al ba'alei batin that was used at home, matirin, you're allowed to, if it was closed and you left the clothing in it from before Shabbos, and now it's Shabbos and the clothing is on the press and the press is locked, it's permitted to open up that press and use that clothing on Shabbos. That's not considered a muksa. You're allowed to open it. Avolokovshin, you're not allowed to press on Shabbos, but you can open up the press as long as it's not that professional type of press. However, vishalkovshin, if it's a professional type of press, so that is a type that was closed very securely. It was effectively locked. It was heavy. It was professional. Lo yigabo, you're not allowed to open it up. That would be like the Isser of Soser, demolishing, because it would be closed so tightly, these professional clothing presses. Reb Yehuda Omer, it depends. Even when we're talking about the professional presses, clothing press, imhaya mutar me'er Shabbos, if it was at least a little partially open on Shabbos, in that situation, matir es kulo v'shomto, then it would be permitted to open up the rest of it. It's not going to be like soter, demolishing. And then you can remove the garment, that shomto, you can remove the garment on Shabbos. As long as it's partially open, you can open the rest of it and use the clothing on Shabbos according to Reb Yehuda.